What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
None of those mayors, even though they call themselves sanctuary cities, when you ask them about their sanctuary status, none of them will mention it.
We do not shield people from federal
law. I just ask you what. So you don't consider yourself a sanctuary city?
We provide services and supports.
Do you consider yourself a sanctuary city? That's yes, just.
We do not under that definition.
You don't use the definition, so you're not a sanctuary.
We call ourselves a welcoming city.
So that was our own Pennsylvania's own Representative Scott Perry just grilling the sanctuary city mayors who spent a whole lot of money of taxpayer dollars on illegals. And so they've been facing these questions. There's so much going on this morning, so much breaking. We really appreciate Congressman and Representative Scott Perry. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, it's awesome to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. I want to begin with, if I may, because I thought that we have not seen for a very long time a speech and address by the President of the United States this week. To me personally, you know, I loved it. But then again, I fully confess I am a Trumpaholic. I loved the speech that President Trump gave this week. I felt like he really tapped into so many of the issues, not just the economy, but as well issues for moms like me, speaking about protecting our kids, bringing back DOGE, but also education, protecting girls. I know you're a father of two amazing daughters, as you say. Take me through, if you would, Representative Perry, your reaction. I know you were right there to that speech.
Well, Donna, I got to tell you, the president does not have to hold back. He's not concerned about some other election in the future or some legacy other than saving America. And it's pretty evident. He said right up front, right, because this is statesman craft stuff, and I get it. So most presidents will go in there and try and appeal, obviously, to both sides and be right in the middle and, you know, that kind of thing. He didn't do any of that. He let everybody know right up front that there's nothing he can say, there's nothing he can do to ameliorate, to cajole, to gain the favor of any of the other people, any of the people on the left side of the aisle, right? All our mm-hmm. Democrat friends over there. And he just said it right up front. And we kind of know that. Look, I'm not a guy that loved Joe Biden or Barack Obama or their policies. But I will tell you this. I went to each one of their addresses. I sat there respectfully. Mm-hmm. I might have grumbled under my breath, but it was under my breath because that's not the time and place for that kind of thing. And when they talked about, each one of them talked about things that were good for America, and there were things that each one of them talked about that were good for America, I stood up and applauded those things. It doesn't mean I applauded Barack Obama or Joe Biden or their policies, but the things that were good for America and the Americans that had been, by each one of them had been distinguished out of the crowd, you applauded for them as well. The difference here was that the president acknowledged up front, I know you don't like me and there's nothing that you're going to approve of that I do. But I think what he wanted to do was show the contrast to the American people that this isn't really about him. Just because it's him in the room, they won't even applaud a young man that's battling cancer. They won't applaud families that have sacrificed their loved ones. They won't applaud a young man who is excelling in every way possible, who gets an appointment in public to the United States Military Academy. The president wanted to show America that these people aren't for America. They are for themselves. They are for their power. And his his being at the in the presidency is just a symbol to them. They don't accept him, and they don't accept anything he stands for, any of the people that would be associated with him. That's who they are, and he showed that over and over again. And of course, he picked issues that he's for, that you're for, that I'm for, like men shouldn't be playing a lens against girls in sports. And the Democrats and the left are so wedded to hating him that they cannot let go of being on that massively losing issue. Yes. Because it really isn't about the American people. It isn't about the girls that they all wore pink for. It's about them and their power. And I think the American people, clearly from the surveys afterwards, show that they get that.
We're continuing the conversation with Pennsylvania's representative, Congressman Scott Perry. Since you're talking about, you know, girls in sports and protecting them and all of that, I've, you know, for at least a month, I've been talking about a local case of a mom named Holly Megalendo. She, and maybe you're familiar with this, but she had filed a suit. Unfortunately, Judge Wendy Beadlestone, and there's a federal judge whose name may sound familiar to you. She was involved in a lot of overreaching rulings, in my opinion, dealing with the pandemic and the shutdowns. So, you know, first strike, mom suing on behalf of her daughter, track runner, came in second in a race. She really came in first in girls track in this race locally. However, biological male allowed to run against her, and she was told she came in second. Mom filed a civil rights suit, and so far it has been suppressed in the courts. We'll see where it goes now. They're not done. But we're seeing this now playing out in courtrooms across America, including here in Pennsylvania. The PIAA congressman has kind of, in my opinion, taken a weak stance on this and said, well, it's up to the school superintendent. It's up to the individual school. And so in this case, we have a Quakertown mom who's trying to protect her daughter, who, by the way, is a senior in high school right now. And so you think about college scholarships and all of that, and not to mention her mental health and her self-esteem. When we see these cases, what can be done? It's frustrating that we have the law of the land. We have the executive order. We have the vast majority of Americans speaking and giving the mandate. And yet these progressive judges and even school officials, they're doubling down on this.
Yeah, they are doubling down on it, which is, look, you know, obviously politically it's political suicide, and I guess that's their choice. The problem, of course, is along the way there's a lot of damage mm-hmm. and destruction to the lives of the people that are affected while they're, you know, climbing up this mountain of righteousness for things that just actually don't exist. You know, that somehow that this boy thinks that he's a girl and should be competing against girls. And, you know, we already fought this fight to protect girls and women's sports. And I think the best thing we can do, quite honestly, is to fight it head on. Mm-hmm. The frontal attack has to happen. And we have to own where we are and not be afraid of it and not be cowed and not be embarrassed and not be worried about being silenced. These are our children, and this is reality yeah. that they're asking us, you know, the crazy left is asking us to suspend reality and believe things that aren't true. And we just simply cannot do that. And the more that we raise our voice and the more that we, you know, stand firm in our position, and quite honestly, we got to go on offense against these judges that do this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, their job is to interpret the law constitutional or not impose their personal political biases and beliefs on the rest of the jurisdiction of their courtroom, you know, on those people. Because they have the authority to do so. That's not, you know, that's not what they're supposed to be doing, obviously. And so we need to be on offense to put them on notice and everybody else on notice that we're not accepting this. It is not going to continue to happen. We're going to seek redress, and we're going to make it right. And this is not going to stand. As a matter of fact, you know, this is the end of this stupid chapter that we have embarked upon.
Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's just it. You think to yourself, this is upside down land. You can't even believe that we're having the conversation. But for these kids, they're hurting and they kind of, you know, and they're being bullied and they're supposed to just shut up and take it. They're not. These parents are fighting. I know that you had put out just 11 minutes ago that you put out on social media, the left is hoping for a government shutdown next week so that it can protect waste, fraud, abuse, et cetera. Can you talk about, you know, moving forward? Cause we're TikTok, we're going toward mid-March, budget, all of that. Can you update us on what's happening on that front?
Well, unfortunately, we have to deal with a funding impasse that started in the last Congress under Kevin McCarthy and has just continued with the normal broken process that is the appropriations process in Congress. And so we have funded the government until March 14th, but we need to continue beyond there. And just, you know, try and make sense of this to anybody. The federal fiscal year runs from the end of September to the beginning of October every year. So we got about, what, 5-6 months left to go in last year. And the Democrats are saying, we're not going to vote for anything unless you Republicans agree to neuter the president of the United States, to stop all this DOGE stuff, and to essentially, you know, make the last presidential election null and void. And we obviously we're not going to be for that. But the other side of the coin is, if you vote for this continuing resolution, you're voting to fund things that you are antithetical to, like the federal funding of Planned Parenthood, for example. Just as one example, if there's a lot of members that just refuse, they don't think that that's the purview of the federal government, and they don't want the federal government paying for abortions, and it's in there, so they won't vote for it. The difference this time, for most conservatives, myself included, I voted for one CR my entire time in Congress. The difference this time is that we have President Trump, and as importantly as President Trump, we have DOGE going on, and we have his budget director, Russ Vought, at the Office of Management and Budget. And so what we can do is vote to continue the funding so that those operations can continue, and that the president then can decide what things are going to be receiving funds and what things are not. And he will decide against the things that we don't want to have funded, these crazy things that we don't believe in and that your tax dollars shouldn't be going to. So I'm going to urge, assuming that the bill will probably come out today or tomorrow, assuming it keeps within the parameters that we've outlined with the president, assuming that's the case, I would urge all Republicans to vote for this. Do not let Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and Hakeem Jeffries have an opportunity to have, to impose some of their requirements on it to get votes on the Democrat side, because they will just, none of them will be anything we agree with. So why would we let them do that?
Yeah. Congressman Scott Perry, I just want to ask you this, because you, and by the way, great job in the question asking, the grilling of that, you know, that committee meeting where you were questioning these mayors of sanctuary cities and giving out, getting them to say how much money has gone to illegals. In other words, here in, I'm broadcasting from the city of Philadelphia, we had city council actually try to censure people during a public comment section from questioning, well, how much money do our city tax dollars go, or state tax dollars here in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania as a sanctuary, how much of this money goes to illegals instead of we the people? I mean, our Philadelphia public school kids, we don't even have HVAC in the majority of our schools. And so my question to you, Representative Perry, is the problem here is that the in the sanctuary city status of counties, cities, They disallow police from reporting which criminals are illegals. And as well, they do a very good job of hiding which dollars actually go. Is there a way to make that more transparent? Because I think when people see it, they get infuriated, right? It gets
they should be raised, right? You're sending your tax dollars in to pay for the services that A, you can't get, and B, to give to people that are here illegally, and C, to add insult to injury. Those people are then preying on the very taxpayers that are paying the bill in so many cases criminally. So, I don't know exact. Seems to me that all that spending has to be public. But even as I say that, I know it's difficult, right? We're finding things out through DOGE, even though all that stuff is supposed to be public. We never knew some of these accounts existed. Yeah. We didn't know a bunch of that money was spent. So it takes a diligent effort from constituencies in the Philadelphia area who are paying those taxes to ask for Freedom of Information Act requests and get the accounts that show where the money is being spent. And of course, you don't know what question to ask. So you're going to have to start one place and see where it leads you and then keep on asking and asking questions. It shouldn't be that way, but let's face it. They don't want to admit that they're doing this. They don't want to even admit, as you heard in the testimony, that these are sanctuary cities. They changed it from sanctuary to welcoming. And then they tell you that illegal immigration has nothing to do with increased crime statistics. At the very same moment, they'll admit to you they don't take any information on immigration status of any of the people they arrest. So how would they know? They don't know. Is the problem. They sit there and lie to you and think that you're too dumb to figure that out.
Amen. I saw you you were posting, and my final question, I just want to end on something a little brighter and lighter, Congressman Scott Perry, and that is, I saw that you were posting about Ash Wednesday, the season of Lent. Yesterday, I interviewed a young reporter a few years out of college, Reagan Reese, Daily Caller. She talked about what it meant to her to, you know, be a White House correspondent now, getting called upon. But she was worried about how, as a hardworking reporter, she'd get her ashes. And she was traveling with the vice president, and J.D. Vance brought forth a priest who gave ashes to him. And she said, I was just so relieved that we could get our ashes. It's just, wow, that made my day. It was so refreshing. I just wonder if you feel that kind of thing happening, that it's a new day. And you're positive about what's going on?
Well, I am positive about it, and I am upbeat about it. Of course, the sad thing is that we ever had to be diverted from that, where this is some kind of anomaly to be celebrated. And what I'm talking about, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating the very bones, the very architecture, the framework, the very foundation of our nation. And how we were created as a nation, what we believed in, why our nation was created, the providence of God, and the respect for what we have due to the blessings of God. And over the course of much of our history, of course, mostly recent history, our leadership has walked away from that, and not only walked away from that, but discouraged and derided it. And so it is it's like an opening of a door in a very dark room without any windows, where the sunlight beams in and illuminates everything. And you are grateful, but you don't, until that moment, realize what you have lost, the considerable things that you have lost over the course of the time that the door was shut and you were just surviving through it.
We have to leave it there. Congressman Perry, thank you so much for joining us today. Hope you have a blessed Friday. Thank you.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.